Good to see you all this morning. I'm Jordan Bird. I'm the pastor here. We decided a few months ago we would just have one worship service on Easter, and I still think it was a good idea for us to just all try to gather in and crowd in, even on Easter. Now, some of you might not think that if you were the one having to be crowded in, but thank you so much. And to our people out in the overflow room across the way, thank you guys for sitting over there. If the audio and video is working, raise your hand for me. Not like I can't see, I wouldn't... We're going to find out later if that joke hit over there or not. It might not have. But thank you all as well. Well, I'd like to do something together. Am I reading the room correctly? I feel like we all want to do this together. You guys want to take a picture together, right? How about a selfie? Yeah. Should we do it? You guys ready for this? You guys thinking what I'm thinking? I feel like this is the right time. Is this the right time? All right. All right, smile big with me. You guys, everybody in there? I'm going to scoot back. You guys got it? Choir? Come on, choir. Let's get this one. Oh, can't get you all coming around that. All right, we good? One more? Come on. What's up, everybody? You were thinking the same thing, right? Yeah, I think you were. Glad we did that together. If you missed sunrise service this morning, you missed a blessing. We had a great time. It was actually, amen. The choir is in favor of that. They'll second it for me, and good food this morning. If you missed it, you missed a chance to have your very first sunrise service like I did. That was my first one, I mean, ever. I've never been to a sunrise service before. What qualifications do I have, you ask? I've worked at churches, just not at ones with a sunrise service. I loved it. We had a great time together worshiping God, and now we continue having a great time worshiping God together. If you will, I'll be reading out of the Pew Bibles today. If you brought your own Bible or if your Bible's on your phone or tablet, you can go ahead and turn it on and scroll to Luke chapter 24. If you're in the Pew Bible with me, go ahead and open up and follow along. I'm on page 859. Page 859 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 24, which is page 859. We'll be reading out of the NIV if you're on a digital Bible this morning. And today we're going to start in verse 36, Luke 24, verse 36, on page 859. Now, you might notice, if you look at the title and if you look here in Scripture, that previous to our reading today, Christ already died and rose again. We talked about that actually last week. We spoke of his death, his burial, and his resurrection last week. We talked about his resurrection again this morning at our early service. So here we are on Easter Sunday to talk about after Christ is risen. What does he say? What does he tell his disciples? What does he have to say to us? So I'm glad you're here today. Sometimes we like to call ourselves Honors Church or AP Church. Welcome. We're advanced here, so we're already past it. Jesus Christ is risen this morning. And let's talk about what he says to his disciples, being that he is our risen Lord. Chapter 24, verse 36, let me pray and we'll read Scripture together. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you this morning. Oh, Father, we love you so dearly. Christ, we thank you that you're risen. Holy Spirit, come on us now to teach us something new about yourself that we can worship you better. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Luke 24, 36. Now, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he said this, they showed him his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. And he told them, "This is what was written the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And when he led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and he was taken up into heaven. And then they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God.
Amen.
The word of the Lord. Did you notice first how this seems like a scene from Scooby-Doo? Jesus shows up and they think it's a ghost. Ghost. It's not Jesus, it's a mask. No, it is Jesus who's risen.
Amen.
But they're terrified because they've never seen somebody risen from the grave. I don't blame them. I haven't either, other than Jesus Christ, the first fruits, the first person to come back to life from the dead. Jesus comes back to life and he says, I'm not a ghost. Look, you can see my hands, you can see my feet, you can see where I was pierced. Come, see that it is I. And they're still just blown away. Says they still don't believe because they're just full of awe and they're full of amazement. And Jesus says to them, okay, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. What better proof that you're alive than that you want to eat something, right? That's what this is about. So they give him a piece of fish and they watch closely as Jesus eats it down. What does this say for us? It says that if Christ had a physical, bodily resurrection like this, then so will we. You might have heard something false. You might have heard something crazy like, you know, we go to heaven when we die and we're spirits, and then someday when the next generation when passes away, we'll go and be with the rest of them, and we'll just kind of, it'll go on, and that's the way it goes. Christ never returns. But it's not true.
Amen.
It is true that the thief on the cross, it is true that the ones we love who have gone on before us in Christ's name, that they are with him now, that they are waiting for a day when they will have this bodily resurrection. But we know that someday our hope is not simply that we'll be reunited with them spiritually if we pass away today. Our hope is that we will all together be resurrected with new bodies just like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It might change everything about what you view as heaven. If you thought it was completely different than what you see now, you're incorrect. What we're to expect in the kingdom of God, Revelation says that heaven comes down, that there's a new heaven and a new earth that we are on. The expectation is that someday we will sit down at the table in the kingdom of heaven where Jesus Christ serves the meal himself. This isn't a spiritual meal, it's a literal one. Our fellowships, the reason why we get together, we had an early sunrise service and then we ate. Man, did we eat. It was incredible if you missed it. If you missed it, that's fine, because there was more for me to eat. I took home a whole box of bacon just by itself. There's something good and right and holy and worshipful about our fellowships together.
Amen.
Getting together to eat and break bread together. Because when we get together like that in fellowship, we say, looking around, this is what it will look like someday when Christ is serving the meal.
Amen.
When we sit together and eat with our risen Lord. Don't be fooled. Your expectation ought to be the same as what you see in Christ. If your hope was that in him conquering death, he was alive in the body, then your hope for you ought to be that he conquered death on your behalf.
Amen.
And expect that someday, what happens next, Scripture says, is that the dead in Christ will rise, and we who remain alive will be caught up with them together in the air to go and be with God forever. That they will have their bodies, and we will have new bodies as well to go and be with God. This has profound implications on how we grieve also. You today who are grieving for somebody that you love, who you have lost, you who join the rest of us and saying, it's unacceptable that we should be separated from the ones we love. For you today who think this, you're not alone. We're here with you, waiting for a day when we will be reunited with those we love who are in Christ.
Amen.
That day will come. Scripture says, I don't want you to grieve as those who have no hope. We Christians grieve, but we grieve as people who have hope. We grieve to be separated from the ones that we love. We grieve that they should have to go and face death at all. But we have our hope that someday we'll embrace each other again. We grieve much like, maybe some of you have experienced this. When I got dropped off to go to college, my mother was working. She had something she had to go do. She was a speaker. She had to go speak at a conference. And so my father took me. It was just he and I. And he had something going on that weekend as well. He's a pastor and had to preach. And so he had to drop me off a day early from the rest of like the freshman drop-off day. And so when I show up, it's just me and him. When there's nobody else in the dorm building, they're all coming the next day. And he helps me carry up to my room, you know, a couple of boxes. I have four or five of them. We don't unload or unpack the boxes. He just helps me get them into the room. We firmly shake hands, and then he goes. And that's and then I start unpacking by myself. It was great. I was so excited to be off on my own. Meredith's story was completely different. My wife, Meredith, same school. We met in college. Her parents, the whole family came. Her younger sister came along. They made a weekend of it together. They go and they take everything she needs into her room. They unpack it all and get it all hung up. When if there's something missing, they go to Walmart together and get that also and put that up in her room. They have a meal together. It's like the Last Supper. They're in grieving and mourning, and they're all crying. And my wife's first day of college was a good, righteous, healthy, she loves her family, like, tear up. You know, just having a good cry, and they're all crying. And I don't understand it at all. It's like I'm going to see them again. I feel strongly that I did not. I don't think I called home that first semester. I was not a great. I only had brothers. We weren't, my poor mother. We weren't. They left me with a calling card and told me to call home. I might have done it before Thanksgiving. We grieve like that, though. I tell you, I love it. My wife's family is all back in Texas. And every time they come out to see us, every time that we go to see them, when it's time to say goodbye, there's some tears. Every time. And sometimes I want to say, you guys, we'll see you next month, all right? It's Thanksgiving. I'll see you at Christmas. Like, it's going to be a month. Like, let's be cool. But such is the love that that family has for each other. My wife comes from such an excellent family that desires to be together. And it's good and it's right. And someday in the kingdom, we will all be together for eternity. This is our hope. We who grieve, we grieve bitterly. We grieve painfully that our loved ones should have to go and face death at all, that we should be separated from them so many years now. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve knowing that we will see them again someday if they were in Christ Jesus. I ask you this morning, if Christ did return today, are you certain you'd go to be with him for eternity? Do you know that God loves you dearly? Do you know that what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he did for you? Do you know that as we celebrate Easter, it's all about him not just having died for our sins and paid for all of them on the cross, but that he was resurrected and alive so that we know we can be? As you look in our passage today, you look down and you see that the next section, after these astonished disciples discover that he is in fact alive, he is sitting there eating with them. It is Jesus Christ who they killed, but who the Father brought back to life. The first thing he says to them is this. Start with me in verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand Scripture. And he told them, "This is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." The entire gospel is right there. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That's the good news. That's why we live and what we live for. Amen. That Jesus paid for our sins. Scripture says all of the wrath of God that was good and right and just against sin. God hates sin. And all the wrath of God, all the right punishment that was deserved for sin was poured out on Christ for all who will believe. I ask you today, how great are your sins? Doesn't matter. Yet greater is the love of Jesus Christ for you.
Amen.
God loves you dearly. He loves you to the cross and back. He loves you to the grave and back. Amen. He loves you patiently, waiting for you to trust Him even today. There's no more wrath. There's no more anger left in God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Today, throw up your hands and surrender to Him. And say, I give up. I'm turning away from it. Today, I'm going to follow after you and believe. And for our part, that's what we do. Verse 47. The gospel is this. He came to offer repentance for the forgiveness of sins that will be preached in His name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. Here's what's preached. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness is free. God's provided it for us. And what do we do to obtain the fruits of the cross and the fruits of the resurrection? We repent. What sin do you keep in your life? What sin have you huddled close to your heart like you love a child? What sin have you been kidding yourself that you're in charge of? What sin have you been saying, you know what, I got this under control. Nobody else knows about it. You are in fact kidding yourself. Today, repent and find the forgiveness of your sins. You need not pay for them. You need not live in guilt a while. You don't have to do penance. There's no act that you can do to absolve your sins. Rather, today, simply cry out to Jesus and say, I am done with this life. I am done with these sins. Will you forgive me? And to everyone who confesses, He will forgive. Scripture says, if we are faithful to confess, He is faithful to forgive our sins. You must know today, the anger of God has been absolved in Christ, and there's nothing left for you except the love of God. But will you choose to have it? Will you take it in your life? Will you throw yourself down in front of His graces? If you will, you'll find the forgiveness of your sins. You'll find eternal life. Scripture's clear in Revelation, and we will begin as a church studying Revelation sometime in the fall, that everyone is resurrected. That there's a resurrection for those who are in Christ at first, and then before the throne of judgment, there's another resurrection for everyone else. That we're all resurrected. We come back bodily, but some to eternal life and some to judgment. Today, do you know which it is for you? If not, then when we come forward at the end, you come forward and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Throw up your hands and say, I'm in. I'm done with this sin. I don't want it in my life anymore. And proclaiming Him as Lord, find salvation for your soul. Find eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The last part of this gospel is this. Verse 47, repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in His name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. It ends like this. This message, this good news that our God is risen, that He's forgiving sins, this news will be preached in every nation, that there will be at His table in His kingdom people from every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people group, every nation. They will all be there together. We will all be there together. Imagine that, every nation, every tribe, someone who has come to trust Christ. They have not yet. And so we participate in this mission, going and sharing the gospel with people. Do you know, this is kind of neat, since we're members of one body, we, the congregation of Talitha Baptist Church, since we're all members here together today, do you know that we, even as we sit here, are together as a unit proclaiming the gospel in Boston? At our last business meeting, our church plant in Boston that we're a part of, church that's there and has started and is thriving and doing well and reaching many. It was started by a son of this church that we are going on a mission trip in September. If you'd like to go along and share the gospel with somebody in Boston, you can still sign up. We'll take you along. Do you know, even this morning, we have representatives, members from Talitha, who are up there with them sharing the gospel. They reached out to us last week saying, we've got this huge evangelism event. We're going to do a helicopter egg drop. We're going to have a lot of fun in this town that's never seen anything like that before. We're expecting thousands of people to come. We need 120 volunteers. We've got 80. Can you send anybody? We got the message before business meeting, so we were able to vote together to send two of our members, Gene Hodges and Casey Hodges, up to join in with them. And the work that they did yesterday with evangelism, with that egg drop, and the work today as they are gathered right now, how many miles north of us? A world away, it feels like. This is what we do, church. We participate in the mission every day, proclaiming to even those crazy northerners up there in Boston that Jesus Christ is their Lord. I know we have some of you amongst us. I know we have some of you sojourning here with us. You are welcome. In parts of the world today, places that were very historically Christian areas, the Christians has all been stamped out. Speak of the cities of Mosul in Iraq, that's now in charge or is under the rule of ISIS. State cities like Basra and the south side of Iraq, which are also used to have an incredible Christian witness in them. That witness is now no more in these places where Christians have either been killed wholesale or driven from their homes and from their country to move elsewhere and be refugees. Today, even today, we Christians around the world are persecuted for calling Jesus Christ Lord. The world hates to hear that Jesus is Lord. And yet, the promise holds true that in that day when Christ returns, there will be people from every nation, from every people, from every tribe, from every language, worshiping Jesus Christ as Lord. What a blessing it is that the Holy Spirit is the one who's taking care of all of this for us. Do you ever get into a project and wonder how in the world is this ever going to work out? Well, this thing we have going on, this kingdom of heaven, this church that we are members of, how good is it that the Holy Spirit has come, that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us? That is the only way we will see these promises come true. He has said that he will reach every nation, but he has also called these disciples and everyone who will follow after him. He has called us to be his witnesses. Amen. He said to these disciples, verse 48, "You are my witness of these things. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." That's the Holy Spirit, who then comes subsequently. We who have the Holy Spirit on us now have been clothed with that power from on high, and we are that witness. We continue to witness in Aiken, in South Carolina, in Boston, across the world, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That though he died on the cross, he rose again. That anyone who believes in him will also rise again. That there is forgiveness if there will be repentance in your heart. We witness to this together. How are you at witnessing to this? How would you judge yourself? You see, we're all witnesses one way or another. You might be a particularly unfruitful witness. You might be a particularly ineffective witness. But that's all right. You don't need to feel guilty today. The past was yesterday. You have today going forward to be an excellent witness. Sins of yesterday are gone. You say, "Well, I don't know what to say." That situation comes up in Scripture over and over again when God's people say, "I don't know what to say." Specifically for us, it's been said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Holy Spirit's going to be with you. You just open your mouth and say things. It's on you to have actually opened your mouth and told someone that Jesus Christ is Lord. No matter how nervous you might sound. Would you like some help finding the right words, what to say? I'll give you some references here right now that you can write down. Romans 10:9. See, if you just let Scripture do the talking on its own, it's always powerful to tell people. If you need to go and tell somebody in your life, if you have a father, a brother, a sibling, a neighbor that you need to share the gospel with today, look, right here, it's there, 46-49, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations. There you go. You can go share that with them and say, do you have sin you need to repent of? Because there's forgiveness if you'll only turn away from it. And there you shared the gospel with them. Romans 10:9 is another excellent one. Romans 10:9, we say again and again, it's one of our verses that we use to share the gospel, and that is, Give me a second. Hold on, I'll come up with it. Gotcha. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's the gospel. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How about Romans 6:23? You can write that down and use it as well. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That is, if you proclaim him as Lord, even though the wages of sin is death, the free gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So make him your Lord. Don't worry about yesterday and what your witness looked like. Today, you go and tell everyone that Jesus is risen, that he's alive, that he's coming back again, that we will be reunited with those we love, that even if we die, our hope is that we will rise again. Amen. You tell them that that hope is for them as well. That as it is, as we're born, we are destined for judgment, but God has a better plan for each and every person's life, and that is that they be forgiven and have eternal life in Christ. Amen. You'll notice at this conclusion of this passage, after Jesus has proclaimed this to them, there's one thing left for them to do. Worship God. Jesus blesses them. He ascends into heaven only to come back someday. And it says in verse 52, 53, the very last verses, then they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. What do you say we praise God together today? I think the only right answer to hearing these words of Jesus is to praise Jesus Christ as Lord. We're going to praise Jesus as Lord today. Here's what we're going to do. We're coming forward, church. If you need to come forward as we're worshiping God, you come forward for whatever reason. If you just want to come and kneel down here, you can just come and pray to God and nobody will bother you. Make whatever commitment you need to make. Confess whatever it is you need to confess. Just talk to him and worship him however you'd like to. Come and kneel. If you need to be prayed over today, come on forward and I will put a hand on you and I'll pray for you this morning. If you'd like to be baptized, if you've never trusted God and said, okay, I will publicly be baptized and be a witness to that, then come forward today and let us rejoice with you, and we'll find a subsequent Sunday to have you baptized on. If you'd like to become a member, come forward today to be a member of Talitha Baptist Church, and we'll vote on you and allow you to be a member of this congregation, the body of Christ. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. Don't keep it secret. Make it public. No matter how shy a person you are, come forward today and let it be public to everyone so we can rejoice with you as you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. Father, I thank you that you're so good. I thank you that the goodness of God never runs out. I thank you that your love is greater than your wrath. I thank you that you gave yourself for our sins. I thank you that you rose again to show us that all who follow after you will rise as well. Father God, put your spirit on us today to be great witnesses of yours. We love you so much. And this I pray in your name. Amen. We'll stand and sing together. If you need to come forward, now's your time. Come on.